الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فكنا في الناقض الثاني من نواقض الإسلام، أو عفوا الناقض الثالث، وهو من لم يكفر المشركين أو شك في كفرهم أو صح عمل هبهم كفر. وكنا قد تكلمنا عن ذلك، وتكلمنا عن مسألة ما يبنى على من الأشياء التي تبنى على تكفير الكفار، حيث تبنى على ذلك أحكام كثيرة. ذكرنا منها 5 أحكام مهمة، ونواصل ما تبقى من أحكام تترتب على ذلك. السادس من هذه الأحكام مما يترتب على تكفير الكفار عدم بداءة المشركين والكفار بالسلام، وذلك لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تبدأ اليهود والنصارى بالسلام، ولكن إن سلموا سلاما واضحا دون سب ولعن فيرد عليهم بمثل ما سلموا أو أحسن. أما إذا كان يسلمون بالألفاظ فألفاظ اليهود عندما يقولون السلام عليكم، فإنه يرد عليهم فيقال وعليكم. فالرد على الكفار ليس على إطلاقه أن يقال وعليكم، بل هذا يقال في حالة إذا كان سلامهم يتضمن نبذا ولمدا وسبا، كما كان اليهود يسلمون على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقولون السلام عليكم، فيرد عليهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول وعليكم. وأما إذا سلموا سلاما صريحا فإن الإحسان مطلوب من المسلمين، ورد السلام بمثله أو أحسن مطلوب شرعا. تابعا مما يترتب على تكفير الكفار أنهم لا يصدرون في المجالس ولا يفتح لهم الطريق، لأن الله تعالى أهانهم، وسبب إهانتهم بسبب كفرهم. فالكفر يهين صاحبه في الدنيا طمعا الآخرة. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إذا لقيتموهم في طريق فاضطروهم إلى أضيقه. فلا يمنعون من العبور والمرور، ولكن لا يفتح لهم ويقدمون في المرور كما يفتح للمسلم، ولكن يتركون فيأتون من جوانب الطريق إهانة لهم، لأن الله تعالى أهانهم. ثامنا مما يترتب على تكفير الكفار عدم تمكينهم من دخول الحرم المكي. قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما المشركون نجس فلا يقربوا المسجد الحرام كما بعد عامهم هذا وإن خفتم عيلة فسوف يغنيكم الله من فضله إن شاء إن الله عليم حكيم. يمنعون من الحرم عموما، سواء المسجد أو عموم الحرام، كما قال تعالى: ولا يقربوا المسجد الحرام بعد عامهم هذا. تاسعا مما يترتب على تكفير المشركين والكفار أنه يلزم ولي الأمر إخراجهم من جزيرة العرب لأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، حيث قال عند موته: أخرج اليهود والنصارى من جزيرة العرب. فجزيرة العرب منبع الرسالة والدعوة، فلا يجوز أن يبقى فيها دين آخر غير دين الإسلام، فلا يمكنون من سكن الجزيرة العربية بصفة دائمة. أما إن أتوا مسافرين لتجارة أو لسفارة أو غير ذلك من المهمات، أو استخدمهم المسلمون لعمل لا يحسنه غيرهم، فلا مانع من ذلك، وإنما الممنوع أن يمكنوا من الاستقرار والتملك في جزيرة العرب لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يبقى في جزيرة العرب دينان. وقد نفذ عمر رضي الله عنه وصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخرج اليهود والنصارى من جزيرة العرب وأجلاهم. وأما إذا دخلوا دخولا مؤقتا لمهمة من المهمات أو لسفارة في جزيرة العرب فلا يمكنون من إظهار شعائرهم ولا يمكنون من بناء الكنائس في بلاد المسلمين، وإنما يقصر أمرهم بينهم في أماكن إقامتهم المؤقتة ولا يظهرون كفرهم في بلاد المسلمين، فينصب الصليب أو يدق الناقوس، بل يكون ذلك بينهم مدة إقامتهم ولا يظهر هذا في بلاد المسلمين. وهذا ليس خاصا باليهود والنصارى، بل كل المشركين عبدة القبور وغيرهم لا يمكنون من بناء الأضرحة ولا يمكنون من بناء المساجد على القبور، فيجب على ولاة المسلمين هدم هذه الأضرحة، وكل مشرك لا يمكن من إظهار شركه في بلاد المسلمين. مما يترتب على تكفير المشركين والكفار أيضا عدم الثناء عليهم ومدحهم، لأن الله تعالى ذمهم وهم أعداء الله ورسوله، فكيف يمدحون؟ ومن الخطأ عند الناس أنهم يمدحون الكفار بما عندهم من أخلاقيات، يقولون عندهم أمانة، عندهم حسن معاملة، عندهم دقة في العمل، ويقول مقابل ذلك المسلمون ليس عندهم دقة في العمل، المسلمون عندهم خيانة وغش إلى غير ذلك. هذا لا يجوز، والمسلم لو كان عنده ما عنده من المعاصي وسوء المعاملة فهو أفضل أهل الأرض، أما الكفار فهم أعداء الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولو كان لهم شيء من الصفات التي تعاملوا بها في دنياهم فلا يجوز مدحهم، والله قد ذمهم، فإنما يجب علينا أن نذمهم لكفرهم بالله عز وجل. الحادي عشر مما يترتب على تكفير المشركين والكفار تحريم التشبه بهم في لباسهم وعاداتهم ومطعمهم ومشربهم ونظام حياتهم والتشبه بهم في عباداتهم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم، وهذا من فروع تكفيرهم ومعاداتهم، لأن التشبه بهم في الظاهر يدل على محبتهم في الباطن، ولو كان المسلم يبغضهم وما تشبه به. فيجب على المسلم أن يعتز بدينه ولا يتشبه بالكفار لا في عقائدهم ولا في عباداتهم ولا في سلوكهم ولا في عاداتهم. فهذه بعض الأمور التي تترتب على تكفير المشركين والكفار. ويبقى عندنا مسألة، وهي: ما الذي يجوز من المعاملات معهم وما الذي لا يجوز؟ هذه نتركها للدرس القادم بحول الله عز وجل، والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
بارك الله فيك شيخنا وجزاك الله خيرا.
حياكم الله يا أخوان.
الله يحييك.
مرحبا، أهلا وسهلا.
السلام عليكم وبركاته.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. من شيخ حفظ الله تعالى بقين praising الله عز وجل and invoking his peace and blessings upon the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, his family companions and all those who follow their guidance until the day of resurrection. Then said that we left off on the third of the nullifiers of Islam, which is failing to declare the mushrikeen disbelievers. having some doubt about their disbelief or approving of their methodology. Whoever does so is guilty of kufr. He said that we have spoken about this issue and about another issue related to it, which is, if we declare the kuffar disbelievers, what are the legal rulings? What are we prevented from doing based on their disbelief? We mentioned five of these things. There are five things that, after declaring the kuffar disbelievers, that we are not allowed to interact with them in. And inshallah, today we will mention a number of other things that, after declaring the disbeliever as such, that we may not do with them. The first of these, which we'll mention today, is that we are not to extend the salams to them first. We are not to greet a disbeliever by saying assalamu alaikum. As the Prophet said, do not initiate the Jews and the Christians with the salam. However, if a Jew or Christian were to give salams to a Muslim, and in doing so, they did so clearly and audibly, and they didn't hide some words such that it appeared that they were giving the salams, but they were actually insulting the Muslim or cursing the Muslim in doing so. If they gave a clear, normal salam that the Muslims give each other, then the Muslim would respond by giving a light greeting. So if a disbeliever were to say to a Muslim, assalamu alaikum, the Muslim could respond by saying, wa alaykum as-salam. And so, but if, on the other hand, they were extending a greeting, and it sounded like they were saying, assalamu alaykum, as the Jews did with the Prophet, but they were actually cursing him or insulting him, they said on one occasion to him, assalamu alaykum, which means not may peace be upon you, but may poison or death be upon you. In this situation, if they were to say some salam and they were actually mocking us, then we respond by simply saying, alaykum, and upon you. However, if they're giving a normal, regular salam, saying assalamu alaykum, then we can respond by saying alaykum salam, because this is part of ihsan, it's part of kindness, and Muslims are required to treat others kindly. The next thing we are not allowed to do based on making takfir of the disbelievers is to give them a special place in our gatherings. So giving them a chair of honor in a gathering. It's because Allah Azza wa Jal has debased them because of their disbelief. So we are not to raise them up to a level above the other people. Disbelief, kufr, is something which a person debases himself by being guilty of. And so we're not allowed to raise a person who has debased himself. The Messenger said in the hadith that when you find them in the road, push them over to the side, meaning the disbelievers. And so they are not to be given, for example, we get out of the way so that they can pass by in the road. Rather, the opposite. This does not mean that they are to be prevented from walking in the streets and moving about in the streets. However, they are not to be, we're not to give them the respect that we would give to a Muslim by moving over, such as to give them the honor to pass by. Another thing is that we're not allowed to give them permission to enter into the sanctuary of Mecca, into the sacred area of Mecca. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجِسْ. Oh, you believe, the mushrikeen, they are only najis. They are filthy and impure. فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. So, let them not approach or come close to the Masjid al-Haram after this year of yours. وَنَخِبْتُمْ عَيْنَةً فَسَوْفَ يَغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنْ شَاءَ إِنَّ اللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. And if you fear from them, and I apologize, I don't know the translation of Aina. If you fear from them some... So Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, innama al-mushrikuna najis, fala yaqrabu al-masjid al-haram ba'da amihim hadha. Oh, you who believe, verily the mushrikuna, the polytheists, are najis. They are impure. So let them not come near al-masjid al-haram in Mecca after this year of yours. وَنِخِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً فَسَوْفِ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنْ شَاءَ. And if you fear some poverty, then Allah will enrich you if He wills out of His bounty. Inna Allah alimun hakim. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla has prevented the disbelievers from entering Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, and from entering not only the masjid there in Mecca, but from entering the sacred area that surrounds the city of Mecca. So he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَعَلَى عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. Let them not come close to the Masjid al-Haram after this year of yours. Another thing that they are prevented from doing based on their disbelief is permanently residing in the Arabian Peninsula. As the Prophet ﷺ commanded that the Jews and Christians be expelled from the Arabian Peninsula. The Arabian Peninsula is the place where revelation started. It is the cradle of Islam. And so, those who are enemies of Islam are not to permanently reside there. If, however, a disbeliever or traveling and needed to pass through were to come to the Arabian Peninsula for commerce and trade, or even to establish an embassy, then this is permissible. Also, if there is some profession that we can find no Muslim to do, and some disbeliever is proficient in it, then we can hire one of these disbelievers to come to the Arabian Peninsula for this purpose. However, what they are prevented from doing is permanently residing in the Arabian Peninsula. The Prophet ﷺ said in the Hadith that there shall not remain in the Arabian Peninsula two religions. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he put into practice this advice of the Prophet ﷺ when he expelled the Jews and Christians from the Arabian Peninsula, prevented them from residing there. But again, if they were to enter temporarily, this would be permissible. However, in their temporary residence in the Arabian Peninsula, they are not to be given permission to openly practice their religion in public. They are not to be given permission to build churches or to, for example, ring church bells. Any practice of their disbelief is to be done privately, not in public, to be seen by everyone. And this is not something which is only which only applies to the Jews and Christians. Rather, it applies to all disbelievers. And the disbeliever is not to be given permission to permanently reside in the Arabian Peninsula, or even in temporarily residing there, to practice his religion publicly. And so, all of the disbelievers are prevented from this. No one is allowed to build shrines on top of the graves in the Arabian Peninsula, nor to build masajid on top of the graves. All of the disbelievers are to be prevented from openly practicing their religion in the birthplace of Islam. Something else that comes as a result of making takfir on the disbelievers is the prohibition of praising them and speaking highly of them. After Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who has criticized them. And they are the ones who are the enemies of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how are we to go and praise them and speak highly of them? It's a common mistake that many Muslims will speak highly of the Kuffar, saying that they are trustworthy and they're very precise when it comes to their work, and they're on time, they're always on time, and the likes of this. And then the same Muslim would turn around and say, all the Muslims are cheaters and liars, and none of them are good at their professions. It's not permissible to speak in this fashion. Even if a Muslim is a sinful person, and even if he's not proficient at his work, he is better than the disbeliever. In fact, he is the best of the people on the earth. Whereas a disbeliever, regardless of how time-conscious he is, regardless of how proficient he is in his job and the likes, he's still a disbeliever. And so he is the worst of creation. Another thing that comes as a result of declaring the disbelief of the disbelievers is the prohibition of imitating them in their customs, their way of dress, their food, their acts of worship. Anything that is specific to the disbelievers, we're not to imitate them in. As the Messenger of Allah said in the well-known hadith, whoever imitates a people, then he's one of them. Imitating people outwardly is evidence of loving those people inwardly. And so, this is something that is prohibited. Islam. It's an obligation upon the Muslim to be proud of his religion, to love his fellow Muslims, and to not have this love for and imitate those who are enemies of his religion. He's not to imitate them in their customs and their habits, their behavior, their dress, and certainly not their acts of worship. These are a few of the things, the rulings, that come as a result of declaring the disbelief of the disbelievers. And there is one more issue to be dealt with concerning this third naqid of the Nawaqid of Islam, which is declaring the disbelief of the disbelievers, and that is, there are things that we are prevented from doing because of the disbelief of the disbelievers. But there are other things which are permissible. So what are those things that we are allowed to do with the disbelievers? And this, inshallah, will be postponed until next week's class. And Allah knows best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala Nabiyyina Muhammad.